Parshas Va'era. So last year I went through all the Makos, and I went through going through starting from Dams for Dei Akinim, going all the way through and explained basically what was going on in every Makah. Crazy stuff. I will admit, that was a crazy share. I'm not going to do that this year because I don't like doing things 2 years in a row or even 3 years in a row. I decided to go and take stuff from the previous years and try to get a bunch of new stuff that we can get in here, a couple of revulsions, and try to say other stuff. We will mention a couple things at the end of the Parsha about Dam and Tzfardea. I don't think we're going to go any further than that. I don't think we're going to take it any further. Just Dam and Tzfardea are crazy enough that you can end with that and be like, whoa, you know, that's good enough. But go through every single Makah again. I don't think we're going to do that. So the Parsha starts off by Yedaber Elokim al Moshe v'yomer Elav ani Hashem. God spoke to Moshe and he said to him, I am Hashem. Now remember what happened in last week's Parsha. Moshe got upset, to say the least, and he said, Lama zeh shlachtani, lama hariosa lama zeh, why did you do such evil to these people, God? Lama zeh shlachtani, why did you bother sending? Now, I don't know if you've ever talked to God, but if you do, or if you have, the smartest thing, the dumbest thing you could do is insult him. The dumbest thing you could do is insult him. And probably one of the second dumbest things you could do is tell him, you've obviously done evil. You've done evil right now. Lama hare osa, lama zeh, is why have you done evil to this people? Lama zeh shlachtani, why did you send me in the first place? I told you so. Close your saying that to God. It's just not a line that you want to say over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a strange line. Me'oz basyo paro, he explains himself. Since I came to Paro, all you've done is done bad to Bnei Yisrael. Shem said to Moshe, Ato Siri, you're going to see what's going to happen. Vayedaber Elokim al Moshe is midas adin. Vayedaber is a lashon adibor, a strong dibor. And also, it's midas adin, Elokim al Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem. But then he calmed down a little bit and he said, ani Hashem. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak vel Yaakov bekel Shakoi. I appeared to the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and with the name of Kel Shakoi. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lam. My name God, I never told them. Now, it's funny, right? We know who Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are. They're what? The Avos. The Avos Olam, right? Are there any other Avos? Is there another Av that we're missing over here? It's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Should have been, okay, yeah, should have, could have, would have, but there wasn't. There wasn't. It's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're the Avos. So you look at El Avram, El Yitzchak, Vel Yaakov, and I guess the question you can ask over there is, why does it say El Avram? El Yitzchak, the El Yaakov. Why an El by each one? It should be El Avram, the Yitzchak, the Yaakov, right? So you look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Ba'era El Ha'avos. And I appeared to the Avos. What in the world is Rashi trying to teach you with that? I understand. We're talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's not like there's something here that I don't understand. I know who Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is. I know that they're the Avos. What are you trying to add by saying, Rashi, that he's talking to the Avos? What do you get out of that? So there are two different answers, two ways of getting around it, and then I'm going to tell you over the revulsion. Number one is the Chassam Sofer. Anybody know, I will give $10 if you can tell me another place where the word Av comes in that does not mean the word father in the Torah. Does not mean the word Av. It appears once in the entire Torah that does not mean the word Av. By Tuma? No. Because it still means the word of father or whatever it is. By Yavama. It says, Lo Ava Yibmi. My Yavam does not want. Lo Ava is Av Beis Hay Yibmi. My brother-in-law does not want to marry me. The Lashon of Av also means the word want or desire. That's what the word Av means. So now, says the Chassam Sofer, now you can make it a little bit more sense. What happened to Bnei Yisrael when they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu? When they saw Hashem? They were the people who wanted to leave Mitzrayim. What happened to the people who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim? The guys who didn't care. The guys who said, you know what, we can live in Mitzrayim and we'll be okay. What happened to those people? Where were they?
Drowned.
They
died in the place of darkness.
Didn't drown, they died in Choshech. They died during Choshech. 4/5 of Bnei Yisrael, some say 49 out of 50, some say 499 out of every 500, some say 4,999 people out of every 5,000 people died during the plague of Choshech. During that plague of Choshech. Why did they die during Choshech? What happened during Choshech? Because they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. So only the people who wanted to leave Mitzrayim, those people are going to get to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Kriyas Yamsuf, and then again at Matan Torah. It's only the people who want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Va'era, when will I appear again? I'll appear again at Har Sinai. To who? To the Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the people who are Avos. Not only are they fathers, they're the people who want to get a hold of me. They're the people who want to come close to me. Those are the Avos, the ones who want to be close to me. That's what he was referring to. referring to over here. Not just as Av as in a father, but an Av as in one, that they want to come close to me. That's number one. That's the Chassam Sofer. The Marashmi Bells, the Sarmi Bells. Sarmi Bells is unbelievable. He was one of the people that had a Gil Elio. He was told to stay up 1,000 straight nights, learning Torah every single night. That doesn't mean you sleep all day. Stayed up 1,000 nights straight in order to get this Gil Elio, where Elio Navi appeared to him. And Elio Navi told him to learn Hilchos Basic Knesses. And it's part of, he built his own shul. And the Belzer Shul in Eretz Yisrael is that famous Beis HaMikdash looking place. A lot of the sodos that come from there come from the original Belzer Rebbe, from the Sarmi Bells. Sarmi Bells says, you know, sometimes when you're, you don't want to say anything bad, but you notice how sometimes the rabbi's kid is a little bit off the beaten path, not exactly like his father. You don't want to say this in a bad way, but Moshe Rabbeinu's his own sons, Gershom and Eliezer. Gershom and Eliezer never followed in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu. Gershom and Eliezer were not like Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, you could say Moshe Rabbeinu was never really their father. He left when they were very young, and as they got older, he's already the leader of the Jewish people. He never really knew Eliezer. He barely named him. He named him, and then he sent him back to Yisro. The Yisro came back with his wife and kids. He never really knew his kids. It's a very strange thing. Moshe Rabbeinu Mamish gave up his life. He really never knew who Eliezer was. But Gershom and Eliezer did not follow in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, why not? Well, what happens? Sometimes you rely too much on the Torah of your fathers. That you say, well, listen, my father found God, so all I have to do is just keep doing what my dad did. If I keep doing what my dad did, I'll be okay. If I keep up on what my dad has done, then I'll be fine. I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to be my father because my father's greater than me. Yerida Zadoros, you know, we're going to go down a little bit, but at least I'll be somebody great. I'll be somebody good. I'm not going to be a Rosh Hashiva, but I'll be like a rabbi. And even if I'm not going to be a rabbi, I'll still be a good Baal HaBos. If I'm not a Baal HaBos, I'll be a, I don't know, good druggie. I don't know. I have no idea. Either way, regardless, you go like all the way. Well, every person's going to be.
Baal HaBos is druggie?
I guess so. You know, I didn't want that to come out from what I said, but apparently, I just, you know, there was nobody that spoke up. So what does that mean exactly? Normally, you just rely on your dad. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not rely on their father. The proof is, what did Avram Avinu stand for? Chesed. Yitzchak stood for Gevura, and Yaakov stood for Emes. Each one had their own derech in finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say in our Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov. It's unnecessary. Elokei Avram V'Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Over here, El Avram V'Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Why do you have to have an El by every single one? Why do you have to have an Elokei by every single one during our Shemoneh Esrei? Because each one, it was their God. Avram had a God in which he found God through Chesed. Yitzchak found his God through Din. He didn't just rely on his dad and say, well, my dad found God, so I'm just going to do what my dad did. He found his own derech in finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was like he was born to a person who didn't know anything, and he found his own derech in finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his own way of learning up Torah. He didn't just rely on anybody else. So each one was a new prototype for Bnei Yisrael. Nobody else after that was able to do it. Yosef was not able to get that high. He was close, but Yosef wasn't able to find his own derech finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He had to rely on Yisod, they call it. So he relied a little bit on what Yaakov stood for. A little bit on what Yaakov stood for. So he's not enough. The Avos are not only fathers, they're prototypes for the rest of Bnei Yisrael. And that, each one deserves their own mention. Thus, Rashi writes, these are the Avos. El Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov. Why do you have to write an El by every single one? You know why? Because each one was an Av in their own right. They weren't just Bunim. They weren't just sons of that great father. Each one was an Av. Each one was their own father. Yeah.
Why do you say we're benching the Yaakov, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Aaron, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the end of benching. The last part.
Oh, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Okay, I don't see what the question is. It's not that it... it's not that it can never be Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. It's that at certain points where a Kadosh Baruch was making some type of a point, that's when we're saying... That's when we're saying they're separate from one another. In other words, if I'm trying to say Elokei Avram, it doesn't call it Elokei Avram B'Yitzchak B'Yaakov. It says each one separately. And so too, over here, where it's saying Va'ira El Avram, I appear to Avram, Ve'El Yitzchak in a different way, Ve'El Yaakov in a different way. Each one I appear to in a different way. But it doesn't mean that it always has to be that way. There are certain places where it can be, you just have to understand why. So I that could definitely be. That's number two. Rav Olson has some other issues. And I like these little issues over here. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't listened to. Bnei Yisrael just didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Look what it says. It says, Moshe anymore. Vayidaber Moshe Kein Bnei Yisrael on Pasuk Tes. Velo Shamu Al Moshe. They didn't want to listen to Moshe. Why? Mikotzer Ruach Umeavoda Kasha. Kotzer Ruach means like shortened breath. Oh, we're so tired, Moshe. You know, we just want to go to sleep. Avoda Kasha was saying, we worked so hard today. I can't come to shul tonight. Moshe, don't blame me. I just can't do it. I'm so tired. Just don't bother. Now, we're not dealing with a guy like me, who I call somebody up and I say, like, hey, do you want to come to shul today? Whatever it is, you know? God would know if they wanted to go or if they didn't want to go. God would know if they'd listen, right? Why did God tell Moshe to talk to Bnei Yisrael if he knew they wouldn't listen? He knew they weren't going to listen. He knows the future. He knows that Bnei Yisrael weren't going to listen. So why tell Moshe to go do something if it wasn't going to work? Why would he tell him to do that? If they weren't going to listen anyway, why would he bother telling him to go tell him? What did he gain? What was accomplished by going up to them and telling them this if they weren't going to listen anyway? Good question. A very good question. To go see if he would go tell them? He had no reason why not to tell them. What would cause him to not tell them? That's number one. That's our first question. Number two. Right after that it says, Eilo Rosh Base of a base of Osam. It goes through the names of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. First of all, why only those three Shvatim? And why in the middle of nowhere? In the middle of nowhere, it's like, oh, by the way, the names, I got them right here. And here's Reuven's, and here's Shimon's, and Levi, we go into a little bit more. So Rashi says, to bring you back and tell you where Moshe and Aaron came from. That's nice, but why here? Do it in the beginning of the parsha, not in the middle of a conversation. God tells him, go to Paro. Oh, and by the way, here's the kids. Like, it's just in the middle of nowhere. What's going on here? Why in the world, right in the middle of the parsha, we just throw this in? And we put it in. Both questions were both sent. And again, what's with the others? So here we go. Random? You ready for random? Ready for random? Random. Rosh Hashanah starts off with a Mishnah. Be'echod b'shvat, Rosh Hashanah le'ilon, kidivrei beis shamai. When's Rosh Chodesh Shvat? It's coming up soon. Make a guess. Next week. Okay, very good. Next week, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is going to be this coming up, Sunday, Monday, whatever it is. It's Rosh Hashanah le'ilon, according to beis shamai, kidivrei beis shamai. Beis Hillel Omrim b'tesvav bo. On the 15th, what's Tezvav Shvat? Tu Bishvat. That's the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Who do we hold by? Beis Hillel, right? So okay, that's Beis Shammai, it's Beis Hillel. Why does it say Kidivrei Beis Shammai? I know, that's like if you would ask that in a shir, the Rebbe would probably slap you in the face and be like, shut up. What in the world's wrong with you? You're honestly going to ask me what that chuf is for? What does it mean, Kidivrei Beis Shammai, though? What does it mean, like the words of Beis Shammai? Says Rav Wolfson, an unbelievable pshat. You know what the pshat is behind Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon? Chodesh Shvat and Tu Bishvat, when it says Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, means it's Rosh Hashanah for when you get your Chidushei Torah of that year. That's the time when you should daven for the Chidushim that you're going to have in Torah for that upcoming year. The better you daven on that day, the more Chidushim you're going to have. The greater your Chidushim will be, the stronger they'll be. The bigger the tree will be, the stronger the tree will be. It'll have a bigger trunk, better roots. It'll be able to be rooted better in the Torah. On those days, you'll be able to daven better. The Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is, when do those Chidushei Torah start to come out? So if you're like Beis Shammai we know is a Talmud Chacham who didn't agree with the Amei Aratzim. He wouldn't get together with the people of the land. The people who were farmers and everything like that, Beis Shammai hated them. When the Gerim would try to come to convert, Beis Shammai would throw them out of the Beis Medrash. He wasn't a man of the people. Hillel was a guy who took in every Ger, helped them, said, like, let me teach you Torah on one foot. Let me be able to do all these things to you. That's what Hillel was like. You had Beis Shammai and you had Beis Hillel, who spoke before the Beis Shammai was like Yitzchak Avinu, and Beis Hillel was Avram Avinu. There was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The time of Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, is a time to daven for your Chidushei Torah, for all the Chidushim that you have in Torah, for all the new novel ideas you have in Torah. If you're a Beis Shammai, you'll start feeling it for Rosh Chodesh Shvat. If you're a Beis Hillel, you won't get it until Tu B'Shvat. Beis Shammai is able to feel it a little bit earlier, because sometimes there are secrets that Talmidei Chachamim can get a little bit earlier than everybody else. And because of that, the Talmidei Chachamim will get it first. If you're like Beis Shammai, you'll get it on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. But if you're like Beis Hillel, you're going to get it on Tu B'Shvat. And that's when you get those Chidushei Torah. That's when it's going to happen. But if you're Beis Shammai, you'll get it a little bit earlier. Did I say it the opposite way? No, I'm good. Don't worry. We'll check the tape later, and then we'll prove you wrong. wrong. Either way, that's Beis Shammai and that's Beis Hillel. And Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan is the Ilan, is the Eitz HaChaim. The Eitz HaChaim B'soch HaGan, that Eitz HaChaim stands for Torah. That's what it means, the Rosh Hashanah for the Chidushi HaTorah that come from the Eitz HaChaim in Gan Eden. Happens to be, B'nai Yisrael, you guys might have heard this before, but the Ramban says it, B'nai Yisrael had Megillahs that they used to read every Shabbos. Every Shabbos they would get together and they would read from these Megillahs on the Shabbos. They would put the Megillahs down in a bima and they would read it out loud. What were in these Megillahs? Stories about the Avos and the future Geula. Stories about Avram and about Yitzchak and about Yaakov, maybe about the Malbol. Who knows what was inside there? But they told over stories. Told over stories. And at the very end it said, and Yaakov was promised that we're going to leave Mitzrayim. We're going to leave Mitzrayim and everything's going to be all good. We're going to leave Mitzrayim. That's why a Kaddish Baruch Hu knew, but Paro, I should say, knew that the way to get a hold of Bnei Yisrael, the way to knock them down and to make them be upset was to do what? Not let them read that Megillah on Shabbos. Take away their Torah, their Megillahs, and they won't have anything to worry, they won't have anything to think about. So that's why in last week's Parsha, when Paro said, I want you to take care of them, he said specifically, Tichbad Avod Al Anashim, make it harder for them. Make them work on Shabbos as well. The Yasuba, they'll do it. Val Yishu B'divrei Sheker. No longer will they listen to the words of lies. The lies that are written in the Megillah that eventually they're going to be redeemed. No longer will they pay attention to those Megillahs. Take away those Megillahs and don't let them learn it anymore. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu got so upset. If they don't have Shabbos and they don't have the Geula written right there in front of them, what's going to keep their spirits up? They're going to be so upset. They're going to start having Yeush. They're going to start giving up and they're going to say, oh, there's nothing to live for. There's nothing for us now. There's nothing we can do about it. That's what was going to happen. And that's why he got so upset, Moshe Rabbeinu, and said, what are we going to do? Kadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing to them? You're taking away their only hope. How could you do this to them? That's why he got so upset. To which Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Atosira. Now you'll see. Because Ba'ira Ela Avos. You know what the Avos are? They're Avos. They're prototypes, like we said before. And they have genetic spiritualism. I don't know what the real word is. In which they genetically put through to their children this idea that they're going to have the Geula. They don't need to read it out of a book. They know it intrinsically. It's inside them. They know they're going to have the Geula. So on the outside, you're right, they have hard shells. And they're going to say, oh no, we don't think the Geula is going to happen. But on the inside, it's still there. And they tell me they Chachamim even more so. So what he did was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go to Bnei Yisrael and tell them they're still going to be free. Don't worry if you don't have the Megillahs. Don't worry if you have to work on Shabbos. You're still going to be free. Don't worry, everything's going to be okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up to them and he told them. And on the outside, what did they do? We don't want to listen to you. We don't want to listen. But deep down inside, their neshamas were screaming, yes! Deep down inside, their neshamas knew it. And Hashem knew that he had to tell them. The Talmidei Chachamim Shebo got it right then. And they were all happy even on the outside. The Amiratzim didn't get it yet, but it was there on the inside and it was ready to come out. It was like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammais were happy. And they're like, oh wow, now we get it right now. We're so happy. And they started saying, we're going to have the Geula, we're going to have the Geula. Only special people got that. The Beis Hillel people only got it Tesvavbo. Later on, they understood it when they saw the Mako start. Who were those Beis Shammai guys? Reuven, Shimon, but especially Shevet Levi. And that's why it lists these people right now. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them, here, these are the people that listen to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Bnei Yisrael lo shamu elai. Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. Eichishmeini Paro, how can Paro listen to me? Says Hashem, they did listen to you. You want to know who did? Reuven did. These guys did. These guys did. Shimon did. Levi did. And all the Shevet Levi listened to you. So don't worry. Even though it looks like on the outside they didn't listen, these guys did even on the outside. And all Bnei Yisrael, they got it on the inside. So you don't have to worry about anything. That's the idea behind the entire parsha. I'm sorry? How did Moshe Rabbeinu not see? Because when he had the majority of the people yelling at you and saying, oh, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever you say. You know, and then like they go back to sleep. He got discouraged, just like any other person would. He saw some of them, but he saw that the majority, the mass majority, was not going that way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right, the majority's not going that way. Only Beis Shammai gets it now. Beis Hillel will get it later. Don't worry. Beis Hillel is going to get it later. That's the idea behind it. Okay, number one. Number two, you know what the difference is between Kel Shakoi, but Eirah Avos, I appear to the Avos, but Kel Shakoi, with the name of, I'm going to say the name, you're allowed to, El Shaddoi, with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El Shaddoi. Ushmi Hashem, Yud Hei Vav Hei, Lo Nodati Lahem. I never told them that name. What's the difference between those two names? What's the difference between El Shaddoi and Yud Hey Vav Hey. What's the difference between those two? So, what? You're right, it's mercy. El Shaddai is, as well, it's a type of Midas Adin, but it's a merciful Midas Adin.
Like, El Shaddai comes from, like, die, like...
It's enough.
Doing things in the realm of nature.
So why did the Avos get that? You can't tell me it means... What do you mean within the realms of nature?
So everything that they saw was within nature.
The Avos. Interesting.
And
that's basically what we're going to answer. The Ramban says that Kel Shakoi, has the ability to win wars in a natural way. In a natural way. That even though we know that Avraham Avinu picked up rocks and they turned into arrows and stuff like that. Sand and straw and dirt and whatever. He took it and he threw it and it turned into arrows and it became arrows and it started hitting the people. That, according to the Rambam, it wasn't literally they turned into arrows. It's that the people started getting hit by mud and started saying, oh my God, he's throwing mud at us. Thinking, why would he throw mud at us? Must be it's turning into arrows. That's what they were thinking. It was a natural way of winning the war, where all of a sudden the people are like, why would he throw mud at us? Must be their arrows! And started running away, thinking that he's throwing like crazy stuff at us. He won the war in a natural fashion, thinking it was a crazy miracle. How he survived the Kibshan Aish is a good question and everything. But basically what the Ramban says is that these Nisim that happened to the Avos were Nisim Nistarim, hidden miracles. That on the outside, they didn't look like miracles. It wasn't an Ace Nigla. It wasn't an outright miracle where you would look at it and be like, wow. It was the Jews winning the war in 67. It was the Jews winning the 73 Yom Kippur War. That type of a war. Well, it's not an Ace Nigla. It's not like a Kodesh Baruch Hu came down and started flicking the little Arab, you know, jeeps and the Egyptian planes started being like, it wasn't anything that was an Ace Nigla. It was an Ace Nister. One tank destroyed 17 Egyptian tanks. It's an ace, but it's a hidden ace, because in theory it could happen. You can do it when you're playing on the computer. You can do it in real life. It probably won't happen, and I wouldn't suggest to try it. Not good planning, but it could very well happen. That's what an Ace Nister is, as opposed to an Ace Nigla. What's an Ace Nigla? An Ace Nigla is when it's outright miracles. Outright miracles. The Makos were outright miracles. Every single one of them was outright a miracle. When water turns into blood throughout all the rivers of Mitzrayim, there's no one that can say that's an Ace Nister. You can say it's Kishuf, it's magic, but there's no way that a person can say it's an Ace Nister. That is a pure Ace Nigla. Kriyas Yamsuf, that is pretty Nigla. Pretty darn Nigla. That's the difference. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to the Avos, but he appeared with Kel Shakoi. Kel Shakoi, El Shaddai, that name that was used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an Ace Nister type of a name. It gave miracles, but miracles in a hidden fashion. Shmi Yud Hei Vav Hei, Nisim Niglim, outright miracles that they've never seen. And that's why Bnei Yisrael was like, yeah, whatever, I guess it's going to happen. Because they didn't really believe. They've only heard about Nisim Nistarim. They never heard about Nis Niglis. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get ready for this. Or, are you ready for this? And play the little dun dun dun, you know, like the little song that they play at baseball and basketball and football games when they're ready to start the fourth quarter and, you know, whatever, you know, getting them all into it and whatever, you know? Start saying, get ready. Because you're going out for Nis Niglis like you've never seen before in your life. What?
Final countdown.
That's it. Okay, fine. Yeah. So that's that. The Ksam Sofer adds on something. And this is happens to be my favorite board in the world because Victor Miller says it, but it's also from a Ksam Sofer. It's one of the greatest boards I've ever heard. You asked this before. Ellie, this is your question. Everybody knows there's all the Lashonis of Geula. It says, I will take you for me as a people. And I'll be your God. And you'll know that I am Hashem your God. Says the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Chasam and Aleph. You'll know that I am Hashem your God. Why? Because I'm going to give you the month. You're going to see the month. And you're going to realize that I am Hashem your God. That I take you out. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm the one who does miracles for you. I'm going to show you crazy miracles like you've never seen before. The problem with that is, they darshan that out from Ani Hashem. The next pasuk, I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. So what happens in Eretz Yisrael? Is there man? What did they eat? When they got to Eretz Yisrael, what did they eat? They had regular food, right? Bread, whatever. And then it says Ani Hashem at the end of the pasuk. Where's the miracle? This is the Ksam Sofer's question. So where's the miracle? So wait a second. Well, Akashi, I understand. I'm going to take you and put you in the midbar, and I'm going to give you food anyway. Ani Hashem. Then you're going to know that I am God. But then the next pasuk, and I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to eat bread, and then you'll know that I'm God. Why? Why? What? So what? No, there's more. There's more.
You're saying here that you're going to get to such a level that when mana's there and I'm performing outright miracles, you're going to know I'm God. But
yeah.
When it's not outright miracles, then within the realm of nature,
I'm still your God. I don't like that. There's more.
The Bnei Israel, he's giving the Bnei Israel credit.
He's giving Bnei Israel credit because they'll know and
now
they'll realize.
Know.
Okay.
They won't have to seek him out.
That's good. Sam Sofer says it better. Better. I love being that rabbi. He says, like, no, say it better. So here we go. Say it better. The say it better is like this. Such an awesome answer. He says, you know, have you ever really thought about making bread? Who was the first person who took a stalk of wheat, took all the wheat kernels, crushed it into little flour, crushed it into little tiny particles of dust, said, hey, you know what? I'm going to pour some water on this, throw it in an oven, and maybe it'll make something. Maybe it'll make something. Who knows? We'll see. You know what? Maybe I'll put a little bit of mold on it. Some yeast? I'll throw some mold on it. Let's see what happens. It'll be pretty good. And then all of a sudden, this huge piece of bread comes out. You think the first person who saw that bread come out, you don't think he was like, what the heck just happened? What did I just do? I crushed a little seed, turned it into dust, mixed it with water, put a little mold on it, put it in the oven, and all of a sudden this thing of bread came out? You don't think that guy would have been the most shocked he's ever been before in his life? Going, you gotta see this! I just did magic! You don't think somebody's gonna do that? You don't get shocked when you see these types of things? The only reason why you're not shocked is because I see bread every day. If Tel Aviv Bakery can do it, I can do it, you know? I can do it just as well. I'm watching somebody make pancakes today, and I'm watching it go. You know, I see these bubbles bubble and everything, and I'm like, not pancake. I was like, it's a pancake, you know? But it's really crazy. Where are these bubbles coming from? How in the world is it bubbling? What's going on here? You watch cooking for a second, and you're just like, how is this working? What's going on here? Like, I don't know the chemical reactions, and I don't care. Don't tell me, like, oh, I know. I don't care. The fact is, it's a miracle in and of itself that this stuff works through nature. Just through nature. It's just that we're so used to it that it's like, so, it's not shocking to us. The mun was every bit as shocking as watching bread grow. These people who came out of Mitzrayim and they knew how bread grew, how bread was made. They went into the Midbar and they saw the mun. They're like, oh, you are God. You are absolutely God, because they saw an outright miracle. These people in the Midbar never saw bread before. They've only seen mun. Or if they see bread, it was 40 years ago. So they come inside Eretz Yisrael. It's the next generation. These people, the next generation comes into Eretz Yisrael and they're like, so what are we going to eat now? Oh, well, we're going to take this and we're going to put it in the... No! They're sitting there like, that's the biggest miracle in the world. Like, God, way to go! How did you make this? And who came up with this idea? What was this? That was the idea behind it. One of my favorite ports of all time. It's such a crazy thing. I was in the Tel Aviv Zoo. I'm walking in the Tel Aviv Zoo, right? And like, I'm standing there and I'm going by the bears. And there's like a sun bear and a sloth bear and a polar bear, you know? And there's like one little exhibit. And the sloth, you know, there's people by the, you know, it's Pesach. So there were people like all around, And there's people by the sloth bear, the people by the sun bears and the polar bear. There's like, no, whatever. There's a huge crowd. Huge crowd. Like, you've never seen in front of one cage. I couldn't even see what was inside it. I'm like, I'm looking there and I'm like, what's going on? So I'm there with my wife and kids. So I said to my wife and kids, I'm like, all right, hold on a second. I want to go see what's going on. So I go over there, throw some kids out of the way, some Israeli kids, you know, threw them in the bear cages, you know, like threw them out, like went inside, and I went and looked. Huge cage. All these kids are so excited. They're like, what? They're like, ah! They're looking at raccoons. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, look at my backyard. What's wrong with you? It's like looking at a gray squirrel, you know? Like, seriously, like, what's wrong with you? It's a raccoon. And then I sat there and I'm like, if you've never seen a raccoon before, it is the craziest looking creature you've ever seen. It's got these tail marks and it looks like it's abandoned. It's got this like black mask on its forehead. And it's a huge little guy. And they go and they eat their, you know, they eat their food. They take their food and they wash it off in water and then they eat it. Ridiculous creatures, raccoons. If you've never seen a raccoon before, it's the most shocking creature in the world. But why is it not shocking to us? Because we've seen them every day. A guy named Kobe used to stay by our house. You remember this Israeli guy? He stayed by our house. This guy named Kobe. Stayed by our house. One time he looks out the backyard and he yells out my mom's name and he's like, ah, you have rats in your backyard. And my mom's like, what? She goes in there. She's seeing a squirrel. He's never seen a squirrel before. He's like, you have rats all around. She's like, that's not a rat, that's a squirrel. What's the difference? And my mom's sitting there and I'm like, I don't know. There is no difference. They got bushy tails. That's it. It's like a rat with a bushy tail. That's all it is. But if you think about it, it's like there's no difference. They both have rabies. They're both disgusting. They're both vermin. They eat garbage. There's nothing. No difference between them. What? Squirrels don't have rabies. Okay, then pick them up. Go pick them up. The black ones too. The same. By the way, they're just phases of the gray squirrels. They're not different squirrels. It's not a DNA difference.
I know.
They only have black squirrels? They don't. It's phases. Phases. It's a phase of the gray squirrel. Yeah. It just happens. Don't worry. No, I'm telling you. You're so shocked. You are God. It's the biggest shocking thing you've ever heard before in your life. Okay, let's go. We have not so much time though, so we gotta hurry it up over here. We're gonna skip one of the things over here. Let's get into the macros. Let's go. Pshat and dumb. Okay, so they were told to go ahead and hit the water. They were told to go ahead and hit the water and turn it into dumb. Aaron is obviously the person that went ahead and did it. And it's a funny little wording how we did it. By Yasuke Moshe Aaron Kashid Siva Hashem. By Yoram Bamate, they lifted up. He lifted up. Aaron lifted up the mate. By Yachas Amayim Asher Beor. And he hit the water that was in the river. He hit that water that was in the river. Leine Paro Leine Avadav in front of Paro and in front of his servants. By Yehelchu Kolamayim Asher Beor Ledon. All the waters in that river turned into blood. And that's what happened. So all the water became blood, right? Later on, the fish died. Havadoga Asher Beor Mesa. This is in Pasuk Chafal. All the fish in the river died. Vayivash Hayor, and the river became very disgusting, very polluted. Question: what was the big makkah? Was the makkah the blood, or was the makkah the fact that the water area became polluted from dead fish? What was the big makkah over here? So it happens to me. You think to yourself, what's the big deal? For sure, it was the blood, right? For sure. Machlokas Rishonim, three way Machlokas Rishonim. This is how it goes. First of all, the Rabbeinu Bachaya. The Rabbeinu Bachaya is the easiest one. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says all the water became dumb. Period. It stayed as blood for seven days altogether. And those 7 days, the Mitzrayim didn't have anything to drink. They were able to drink salt water. They were able to put salt water in their mouths. Or they were able to drink a little bit of blood. A little bit of blood just to keep themselves alive. But other than that, they couldn't drink anything. Or they bought water or whatever it is. But how the Chartumim, the magicians, were supposed to do it as well. The Chartumim came along and it says, Vayasukein Chartumim Mitzrayim Balatayim. They did it with their magics. How did they do it with their magics? Where was the water? How could they get water? There's different answers. They bought it from the Jews. They dug it up from the ground. The Rabbeinu Bachai says an awesome answer. Because it says, Vayorn Bamata, and he made the water in the Yaor, in the Nile River, into blood. He says an unbelievable answer. In order for him to turn all the waters into blood, Aaron had to go around and tap all the waters. So only the Nile River and everything connected to it turned into blood. But before Aaron got to other water supplies, the Mitzrayim quickly grabbed some of the water and turned it into blood in front of everybody. So they turned it into blood in front of everybody. So that's another way of saying, that's the Rabbeinu Bachai's other answer over there. But the Dasakanim and the Panach Raza, both Rishonim, both answered no. It only looked like blood, but it never turned into blood. It looked red, and it looked thick, and it looked disgusting, but it wasn't blood. It never turned into blood itself. In the Nile River, everywhere. It never. It was an illusionary thing. I'm sorry? Fear to say almost, right? But they say that the whole makkah was not necessarily the dam. The makkah was that the fish couldn't take it, and the fish died and stink up the river supply. So even though the river was able to be drunk, it wasn't anymore because it was so polluted. There you go, hold on. So there's two questions on it. Number one, the Maro Diskin immediately yells and says, for those who say, like the Das the Canaan, that says that the whole Makkah was because it became polluted, the Pasuk says straight out, where is it? I gotta find it. It is by Yudam, Vahayadam. And the Pasuk is Pasuk Yudtes. Pasuk says, the Yihi Yudam, Vahayadam, B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. It says straight out, it will be blood, and it was blood. Then don't say it was water that looked like blood. It was straight out blood. Says the Maro Diskin, don't say such a thing. But there is a Rishon that goes ahead and says that. So the Chizkuni takes it a different way. The Chizkuni says it did turn into dam, but only for an hour. It turned into dam for an hour. All the fish died. Then it turned back into water, but they couldn't drink the water because the water was polluted. So it turned into blood for an hour. But the real original Mako was the Havoshas of the Dogim, the stinking up of the river from the Dogim, says the Moshe of Zakenim. Impossible. You should have called the Maka. Maka's Havosha. It shouldn't be called Dam, because the real Maka wasn't the Dam, it wasn't the blood, it was the Havosha. It was that. So that's the shot behind why we say that it was something different, that it's really blood itself. But it's just a little machlokas. Now what happened with blood, we all know the whole Midrash, we're not going to go into it. They sat on blood, and all their sweat turned into blood. Anytime that they would lie down in something, it turned into blood. Can you imagine how disgusting it was? Every time you lie down in a bed, it was like you were sinking into a pile of blood. I don't know if you've tried it before. Don't. But it's like sinking into a waterbed full of blood. Waterbed full of blood, and it's just surrounding you and everything. They went to the bathroom looked like blood. Everything was just disgusting. Everything was disgusting. Everything was just absolutely disgusting. But Tsvardeya rocks. Tsvardeya is by far the coolest maca you've ever heard before in your life. Yes, it included poison dart frogs. Yeah, it included poison toads. Yeah, according to the Balaturim, it included killer snakes. Yeah, according to the Nitziv and the Malvim, it included crocodiles and alligators, depending. But either way, crocodiles for sure. And according to the Amloes, there was even a creature there that was scales as hard as rocks, and the only way to kill it is by shooting an arrow at its stomach.
I do love that.
That's a dragon, my friend. That is a dragon. That's a dragon from The Hobbit. I don't know if he read The Hobbit. I would doubt the Miamlois. And the Miamlois is 150 years before The Hobbit. But that is a dragon. That would be a dragon. But regardless, I've learned a lot about dragons. There's Torah Chaim that I just learned about Metzia, that there's a flying snake that is able to kill with its eyes. That's another little thing over there. Regardless, there's all these things there. Tana de Belio says that Tsvardeya is called that because it's a Tzipor Dea. Tzipor Dea. It tells the birds whether it's safe or not to come to the river to drink. Because when there's frogs croaking, that means there's no crocodiles around. So the birds will come down to drink when there's frogs croaking. But if the frogs aren't croaking, that means there's crocodiles around, so the birds are too afraid to come down to drink. Unbelievable. As the Tana de Belio says, that's my translation of the Tana de Belio. Another way of looking at it, an alternative way of reading, is that the alligators and the crocodiles themselves try to fool the birds into coming down and saying, we're not, we're okay, just come down. Step inside our mouths. Have you ever seen those pictures of alligators with birds walking around inside their mouths? There's even a Far Side on it, I think, where these birds are walking around and one bird says to the other, you know, I don't feel so safe here. Like you see like a huge alligator open. There's birds that walk around in their mouths. They say, like, you can come down, don't worry. And, you know, just snap it down. Snap it down right in front of them. Regardless, that's the... That's what refers to by Tzipor Dea. But there's another board. How did the Tzipor Dea come? How did the frogs come in? Anybody remember? One gigantic frog, and what happened?
They hit it.
According to Rabbi Akiva, they hit it, and all these frogs started sprouting out from the frog itself. Every time they would hit it, these other frogs would come. And every mitzvah, the famous question, so why keep hitting it? Why would you keep hitting it? Stop hitting it. Like you think, after a while, after the first stage, you see all these frogs come down. Don't hit it anymore. The pshat is, every Mitzri was sitting there like, no, I can do it better. Every Mitzri is coming by like, you did it wrong. This is how you do it. Oh, man. Then the other guy comes by and he's like, no, I got it. Yeah, they're just like, whatever. They're dumb. That's his idea. However, you know, the Medrash argues on that. Rabbi Lozman and Zarya yells at Rabbi Akiva, Malcha Itzel Agada. What are you doing by Agadita? Get out of here. Klach Itzel Negayim Ba'olos. Go by Negayim and Olos and all the other Tumantara Gemaras. You don't belong over here, Rabbi Akiva. It was one frog, and the frog croaked and called all the frogs of the world, and all the frogs of the world came in. That's what happened over here. But now that it wasn't one frog that gave birth to frogs. Is that any better? That's the question. Rabbi Lezer in his eye is like, oh, that's good. That's fine. One massive frog comes out, like all these things come by. And well, what is this line? Go to Negayim Ba'olos. What kind of a line is that? So again, a Rav Wolfson. Unbelievable Rav Wolfson over here. So Rav Wolfson says like this. He says, what's a machlokas? Mitzrayim knew that there's only one thing that's worse than Tumah, and that is Tumah and Tara mixed together. Tumah and Tara mixed together is more powerful than just Tumah alone, because Tumah and Tara takes the power of the Tahara and adds on to that Tumah. So, okay, whatever. That's the idea behind it. This is an example of Basu V'Cholov. The Basu V'Cholov is something called Chaticha Nasin Avela. Basu V'Cholov, it's not only the thing that's usher, it's not only the cheese that's usher, it's the cheese and the burger that's usher. It makes it an even bigger isser. It combines to make a bigger isser. The Tumah and Tara, the Tumah takes the Tahara in order for it to be okay. That's why the Mitzrayim wanted to kill off all the male Jews and marry the Jewish woman. That way they'd have Tuma and Tahara mixed together and they'd be even more powerful. The Tuma of the Mitzrayim plus the Tahara of the Jewish woman would make them into tremendously powerful people. So Mida Keneged Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them the frogs. Why the frogs? Because we know every animal on land has a counterpart in the water. Because when Avodah Zarah, Lama Tesuma Beis, every animal on land has a counterpart in the water. Tame animals on land are Tahor in the water. Tahor animals on land are Tame in the water. They're Tahor and Tame. That depends, right? Like a cow will be Tahor on land. A sea cow, whatever that is, we don't know what the creature would be. And it's whatever it is, you know. That sea cow will be Tame. I don't know how it goes because a horse and a seahorse are both, whatever. I don't know how it works. Regardless, there's such thing. Tahor and Tame, Tame and Tahor, whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. It's not the, you know.
Which is both must be both.
A frog and all amphibians. And actually says the word amphibian in there. I love that. Aleph Mempe. All right, whatever. It says amphibian. All amphibians live on land and water. So it's a combination of both. So what is it? Is it Tahor or is it Tame? Says Rav Wolfson, unbelievable Kiddush. It's both. It's Tuma and Tahara mixed together. So Davka the Tzfardea can come and punish the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim's plan was to mix Tuma and Tahara together and to fight the Jews. So I'll send you the Tzfardea that's Tuma and Tahara together to fight you, to destroy you. The Tuma and Tahara fight each other, that Tuma and Tahara will fight against, you know, go up against each other and try to fight each other. That's why they went ahead and got frogs over any other animal, over anything else. You know what the frog's Shira is? You know, Perek Shira goes through all the different songs of every animal. You know what the frog's Shira is? Tzfardea's Shira? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vaed. It's the only animal that doesn't have a pasuk. Every animal, everything in Perek Shira is a pasuk. The only animal that doesn't have a pasuk is the frog. Why not? And plus another question. If it's Tuma and Tahara mixed together, how can the Tuma sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know what Pshat is? Because the Pshat is, you know what a frog is? A frog is Tuma and Tahara mixed together. So it can't say a pasuk because it's too Tame. Something Tame, if you're in a bathroom, you can't say Divrei Torah. So it can't say words of Torah. It can't say a pasuk. So what's it going to say? Baruch Shem. Hashem, I can't say your name. What do you do when you can't say Hashem's name? You say Baruch Shem Kavod Machzol Olam Boed. That's what it does. Okay, there's more to it. We can't stop. We got to stop right now. Anyway, we're not going to answer the question as to what the whole machlok is. We'll get to that next time because we have to stop here. Just know the answer is awesome. It's the greatest answer you've ever heard before in your life. Shnayim and Echad. Go to Negayim and Olos. Look at the first word in Negayim and Olos. You'll see it's the word Shnayim. That'll hopefully that'll explain it a little bit. Okay, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbat.